broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana.
USA.
You're listening to Forgotten Favorites. On the Worldwide Legend.
Visit our new website at legendoldies.com. Request a song. See what's currently playing. View the weekly schedule in your local time zone and learn more about your favorite DJs. Listen to talk shows when you want with your computer, Victor Stream, or iPhone, including All Things Radio, ATR Extra, Coffee Club, and Sports Lounge Live. Connect to our Zoom voice chat rooms to talk with us live using your computer, iPhone, or telephone. All this and much more at legendoldies.com.
Welcome to All Things Radio Extra, where it's your turn to talk about the world of broadcasting. The number to call is 646-876-9923. That's 646-876-9923. And the meeting ID is 287-723-4600. That's 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key. And now here's your host, Bill Sparks and friends.
And here we are from a very cool but nice Indianapolis, Indiana. We've got a whole house full of company. We're all going to the Indiana-Ohio ACB convention tomorrow. Michael Loff and myself, and we're going to be doing some streaming and audio recording and all kinds of things. So I'm just going to sit back and let Jeff take it. Go, Jeff.
Well, good evening, everybody. Jeff Bennett here, along with a whole crowd of people. And before we even get into it, I do want to say good evening to everybody and have a safe trip to Indiana to the convention tomorrow. And I know you guys are going to be working your little butts off recording and broadcasting it live on the Internet. So that's going to be very interesting. And you guys are not going to be taking a vacation this weekend. That's certainly for sure. Now, what's going on in radio? Apple and iHeart, they make strange bedfellows, but there could be an interesting arrangement in which Apple and iHeart will work in co-marketing arrangements. Apple really wants, iHeart wants the publicity, and they want their product on everything. And of course, you can listen to iHeart radio stations on your iPhone or iPad or your Mac computer. But they are also want to get into a financial partnership and some sort of marketing agreement. And maybe iHeart would promote more of the Beats products that Apple is involved with, the Beats headphones and stuff like that. Maybe the Apple Music service. We don't know what it's all about. This came from an article in the Financial Times of London. Now, let me just go over to this window here, and we'll figure this out here. And Adams goes loud with hip top hap on Fort Wayne in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So you're going to hear more hip hop in the translator. I just lost my connection to the internet here. Am I still here, guys?
Yes, Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
Because I just lost the connection. I don't know why their server just went down. So the other thing is, if you like Jack FM, it's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and you're going to hear them on 107.1 via a translator, and the AM station is on 1400. So now that that website went down, I was going to talk a little bit more about some radio news. The other thing is, we already know the personal people meter ratings came out, and there was nothing really spectacular about them. You've heard them in today's All Things Radio podcast. And of course, we'll figure that out for the next few weeks as well. Folks living in Austin, Texas have gotten a new hip-hop station that's on 95.9. They were an R&B station, however. The translator was originally in 96.3, and because of interference, they moved it to 95.9. It's now owned by Entercom. And it's the HG3 signal. What's the radio station of the HG3 signal, Sean? Is it?
It is KKMJ Magic 95 HG3.
Right. So they're running classic hip-hop. And what's going on in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? We featured the station when they changed formats to a mixed format of urban adult contemporary. And that station is not going to be doing that format much longer, we believe, based on domain registration. So I think a new format in Philadelphia is headed for 106.1. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to note that we heard 106.1 today on our WZGO FM on 106.1 from 1984. However, the station has certainly changed since then. Now, we do have some hands that are raised, and let me get to them. Well, first of all, I heard Mike Flance in Florida. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, good evening. I want to say that you did a great show tonight. I enjoyed 106.1 very much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike.
You're welcome.
And we got Pam. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, I'm curious about Jenny's call letter and format changes. She did several of them that she said signed on is not available.
No.
But yet they had a format.
Okay, the station
that they
signed
changed
right
from and then to.
Right. The format is unavailable because it was not available because it wasn't a radio station before. So when she says the format...
No, I understand that, but my point is that it's... What she said they would sign on as not available, but they had a format, and I don't understand.
I think you're misunderstanding, Pam. I don't think she ever said signed on as unavailable. But I'll listen to it more and figure out what's going on, Pam.
Yeah. Sometimes they might be running tests or something, and maybe they're not on as anything in particular yet, or they might be stunting. So maybe that's or they at least they haven't announced it. That's the main point of what Jenny's saying, I think.
And she usually says changes from format not available to that's what I've heard her say tonight.
So, yeah, something also, now, you know, or whatever. And sometimes it changes from format not available to silent. And that's always one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
A few other things, Jeff, we could talk about.
Go ahead.
First off, I'm going to comment Apple and iHeart getting in bed together. It's brought to my attention that... Apple now has a deal with Spectrum. You can download an app and install it on your Apple TV, and for $29.95 a month, you can select, I don't know how many channels, but you can select certain channels from the Spectrum lineup without needing the full-scale cable box. So I wasn't aware that that was in place yet, but apparently that's something you can do. And the other, I think, kind of big story for radio enthusiasts, a station, one of the old-school stations, been around like, 50 years, WLNG, I know you mentioned it. And, of course, great Scott Feibusch this week, Top of the Tower. Great podcast. Folks should listen to that. They talk about quite a few things, some new trends going on in radio, and how some of the successful stations are the small markets that still remember how to do local radio, and how even some of the bigger boys are finally figuring out how to use voice tracking to even work in local radio by, you know, making phone calls to people and doing things and using the technology that many loathe and learning how to make it work.
You know, Mike, I don't think that people who listen to WLNG should be really upset in the sense that it's not being bought out by a big company. It's being bought out by the wife of Bill Evans. Bill Evans is a meteorologist who works for Channel 7 News, and she's buying the radio station. And now, I could be wrong on this, but the station makes oodles of money. And but their local programming, and it's just it's hard to believe that they've been on since God, I can't even 1965, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I thought he said 50 years. So I don't know if it's 68,
and they've been on for so long, and you know, obviously
it's property because they said it's 3.9 million, but 3.2 million of that is specifically the land housing the current AM tower. So you can guess that that's going to move. I think it was 125,000 or what's 125 for the studio and 25 for the
right, and it's very expensive. But they're in a real ritzy area of Long Island. If you live out all the way out of the Hamptons and you got money, that's the bottom line. Well, got money.
Are they saying that they're going to change the format, or they're going to leave it as a great old
They think they're going to leave it as is, but you know, you may have a degraded signal, especially on the AM, the FM. Probably they're just.
I didn't know they had an AM.
there's no AM anymore. They had an AM on 1600.
What a great sounding radio station they are too.
And they are a great sounding station. Who's that? Okay. Now, I do want to play something, and the reason I'm doing this is because we've had so many bad things in the news today, in the last week or two. The killing of 11 Jewish individuals in Pittsburgh, in Squirrel Hill, Pennsylvania, the bomb packages that were sent to people. I thought maybe we'd lighten things up. I've shared my screen here, and while this isn't totally radio-oriented, we're all totally blind, and we're all visually impaired, so we all relate to this. And I thought maybe we could lighten things up a little bit, and I got this idea from the show that we were listening to in Minneapolis, Minnesota on KQGO-FM, and we were listening to the morning team of Dana, Ben, and Giselle. So I think if, and let me know if you guys can hear this, and hopefully I think the sharing is working okay, and tell me if this brings back some memories for any of you guys.
New from KTEL Records, 22 explosive hits, 22 original stars, gallery.
Oh, it's so nice to be with you.
The great Sammy Davis Jr.
Who the Candyman can.
Olivia Newton-John.
Yes, Jeff.
Is it coming in or not coming in?
Yeah. It is, Jeff.
I can hear it.
Okay, I'm going to do it again because I don't know why you're not having. Well, because you're on your iPhone for some reason. We've had this problem before.
New from KTEL Records, 22 explosive hits, 22 original stars, gallery.
Oh, it's so nice to be with you.
The great Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, the Candyman can.
Olivia Newton-John.
If not for you.
Hamilton, Joel, Frank, and Reynolds.
Don't pour your love out on me.
Derek and the Dominoes' big hit, Layla. Osmonds, Detroit Emeralds, Millie Jackson, Flash, April Wine, Charlite's, Pop Tops, Fortune.
Here comes a rainy day, feeling again.
Joe Simon.
You got power in your kiss.
Lobo.
Possible man.
Hot Brothers, Popcorn. And many more. Get KTEL's 22 explosive hits now. 22 original stars and one great stereo LP. Only $3.99.
You can tell it's KTEL. Are you ready for now? 17 of today's hottest superstars in one all-new Power Pack collection. Move into a new dimension with the year's biggest songs.
I don't care who you are, where you're from.
Now you can have all your favorite hits right here, right now. Chart toppers from KZ and JoJo, Aqua, Brian McKnight, Janet, and Spice Girls. Now, delivers nothing but the biggest hits you crave. But to get them, call the number on your screen.
There's never been a music collection like this before. Until now.
On CD or cassette. To order, call the number on your screen or send check or money order for the amount shown plus shipping and handling. Must be 18 or older to call.
Introducing Popeye's Amazing Vegematic 2. New improved cutting rings make food cutting easier than ever. Saves you time by slicing whole potatoes in only one stroke. Turns whole onions into zesty thin slices for delicious hamburgers. Slices mushrooms, tasty juliennes from sliced carrots. Turn the dial, slices are automatically thicker. Dial from sliced to diced, fast, easy, and sliced onions become diced by the panful. Dice carrots. One stroke dices celery. Over 11 million original Vegematic sold. They must be good. Vegematic 2 now available at only $9.95. Imagine Vegematic 2 also can slice a whole firm unripened tomato in just one stroke. Or make everybody's favorite, golden French fries. Hundreds in just minutes. Popeye's improved Vegematic 2, a great gift idea. Only $9.95.
Okay, I kind of
you're making me hungry over here.
I hear you. But I just,
I'm
just because now some of the people older remember some of the stuff.
I had one of those. It broke within a week.
Yeah,
and
I hear you, Tim.
As far as the KTEL, remember this? You can tell it's K-Smell. We yell.
Well, that Vegematic guy, I think, just died. I think I heard on the news a couple of weeks ago. I think he was in his 90s, and I don't know if that was the voice of the guy who ran the company, but he did die just a couple of weeks ago.
They also had the Pocket Fisherman Popeye did. That was
And the reason I only brought this up is because I thought maybe we'd bring back some memories for people, and I see some people have hands raised here. So, Sam, what do you want to say?
My turn, because I thought I heard Sam, not Dan.
No, I said
okay, Dan. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dan. You got it.
Oh, okay. Thank you. good evening. Anyways, what I wanted to share with you is we all were guessing about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, what the first station to go Christmas is going to be. I saw it pop up on Radio Insight, and drum roll, please. Hello? WBTR.
No. I won in Grand Rapids. Yes, that's right.
That was the first one that popped up to say that they go Christmas. So I know
Tommy,
it's
what
usual
this
year.
The first station that ever did all Christmas? I've been trying to research that for years.
I'm going to say it's that WEZ. I'm thinking it's the one in Wildwood, New Jersey. I believe WEZW has been credited to being the first station to do the all Christmas format.
Because when I was growing up, man, that didn't exist. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, they just mixed it in. But
I think the internet spawned it, didn't it, Tim?
What year did the all Christmas programming start?
Hold on. Remember 2001, after 9/11, a lot of stations went all Christmas early to kind of, you know, ease the tensions. I remember a number of stations doing it then. I don't know if that's exactly when it started, but that's when you really started seeing it exploding.
Well, Again, it was something that was spawned by the internet, because the internet, 1 or 2 years before, because Bill will know, because he started collecting streaming Christmas stations online, and when those numbers really took off, and they found, wow, people really do want to listen to Christmas music, and of course, terrestrial radio started adopting it.
Understood. I don't know exactly the year that it happened, Tim, but it's been going on for quite a while now, and I'm going to say probably as early as 2000, but I'm not sure about that.
We had a station, WHUE, who was a beautiful music station, and they were at 100.7. They used to have been WCOP-FM, and they did it with beautiful music, very boring, schlocky Christmas music, and I remember that in the early 80s. They only did it 1 year. I think they were waiting to switch formats.
If anyone who likes beautiful music would know and would listen if it was the Schulke stations, and you did have a Schulke station in Boston. It was WJIB. And when they did Christmas music, it was beautiful because everything was matched. It really was a
They sounded great. I had a friend when people were just getting their stereos, he said, and he never listened to the station, he was a rock fan, but he said, if you want to find out if your stereos work, and put on WJIB, because it always sounds so good, and you'll know if you've got any problem.
Let's give out the phone numbers for people who want to call, and the phone number is 646-876-9923, 646-876-9923, and the meeting ID is 287-723-4600, follow that by the pound key, hit the pound again after it asks you for a user ID, and you're in like Flynn. Or, of course, you can go to legendoldies.com and click on the link for all things Radio Extra and click on the Zoom link and join the meeting. And you can join the meeting if you have a computer, microphone, and a sound card. It'll let you join. It'll install a little plug-in on your system to join the meeting. Or you can do what I have done and what a lot of us have done, as we've installed the Zoom program on our computers or our iPhones. And so if you want to know more about that, go to legendoldies.com, and you can find out more about Zoom. Now, I have a question for you, and I know I'm going to get into a little heavy here, but with everything I hear this week, and my sister said, well, you know, President Trump said that he always tries to tell the truth. Well, of course, I think he should be telling the truth, not trying to tell the truth. Is the media at fault, or is he the one making the media at fault? He says that everything the media says is a lie and not to believe the media. But I want to get some opinions on this. I want to start with you, Chris. What do you think?
I think everybody knows what I think.
We know you're the consummate liberal there.
So yeah, I'm the liberal over here. No, the thing is that he says things, then he'll backtrack, then he says it again, then he said he didn't say it, and then he complains to the media. You know, he's trying to shoot the messenger. You know, it's all out there. People see it. I mean, they'll make their decisions next Tuesday. I mean, and they were saying on the CBS News last night that it's really in a lot of these places. I mean, obviously there's local issues, there's other things, but it's really a referendum on Trump in a lot of ways, and whether the Democrats can get the House and perhaps come closer in the Senate or do whatever, and that it's really about Trump. But the thing is, you know, I saw an article the other day that said, in a way, he may be the most honest president, that he has no filter. So what he says is what he's thinking at the time. And then he'll say, well, I never said that, you know, whatever. Or he'll say the opposite the next day. And it's not because somebody told him it wasn't the right thing to do. It's just how he happens to feel at that moment. Remember at the beginning of the administration, he got rid of about four or five people. Things have settled down there. And he said, we're getting rid of people that won't let me be me. And what he is no filter. I say what I think when I think it. And if I think something the opposite 5 minutes later, too bad for you.
And as bad as I think he is, I don't think that there's a Democrat right now that can beat him. And I think we are going to see a second term of Trump. That's just my opinion. Karen, you had your hand raised. Go ahead, Karen.
Yes. I believe, generally speaking, the mainstream media is biased. And I've felt this way for 40 years. There is a specific instance that made me have this observation. When Jimmy Carter got elected in 1976, and there was a reporter, and I knew about her. I knew her from Atlanta. She was in the Atlanta media, and then the national media, Judy Woodruff.
She works for abroad. I think she might still be working for public television, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if she has enough.
She was with CNN, then I didn't know where she went. But she was just very, you know, I could just tell that she was quite exuberant that Carter got elected.
Mm-hmm.
And I've observed these things for
I don't think there's anyone that can generally be told. I don't know that there's anyone, Karen, that can be totally impartial. I mean, they say they are, but yeah. That's the way it is, unfortunately. But also. If I think if Trump had his way, there would be government censorship, and that's what we don't need either.
I don't agree with that.
Perry, you had your hand raised. Perry, you had your hand raised. Okay.
Who?
Go ahead, Perry.
Sure.
You were muted. Go ahead.
Politico did a poll, and the poll agrees with Karen, oddly enough. 58% said Trump was worse, 64% said the media was worse, and the media's popularity is only 17%. So, and Politico is kind of a left of center publication. So, I mean, this would certainly not be, you know, any right wing thing. And that came. I was going to mention that today, Chef. So you kind of got ahead of me on that. But Politico did that poll. That ended today. So
I think there's an interesting thing that's happened, and I think we need to take this into account, because it's now narrow casting, it's not broadcasting. When you're talking about, you know, that was unusual that Judy Woodruff would have been that obvious, Karen, about how she felt or whatever, back in those days, because the Walter Cronkites, you knew that if you sat down and had watched the election in 1964, and now we know he was a pretty liberal guy, but he would have, if Barry Goldwater would have won that election or whatever, he would have, you know, played it down the middle. Because what has happened is that broadcasting, or narrowcasting really, because you can tune in, you can get the news you want. You can get your left of center news, your right of center news, your middle of the road news. You can do whatever you want on your TV or your radio. But newspapers used to be this way. When you had a lot of newspapers in town, there was the liberal newspaper, there was the conservative newspaper, there was the scandal sheet, whatever you wanted, you could get. And now broadcasting is the way newspapers used to be, and there's so few newspapers. So it's narrowcasting, and I think people are not understanding that, you know, it's okay, because what the problem is, however, it's causing the problem that we've mentioned in the past, which is the fact that we can't even agree on what's true. You know, so, oh, well, Fox News said this. Yeah, but CNN said that. Two people can sit there legitimately and say, well, I saw the same story, and they're going to get totally different, you know, views of it.
This is true. I believe 559, is that Dave? Go ahead, Dave. I know you raised your hand.
I think that there's a little bit of truth in everything that's been said here, but I don't think the whole picture is more complicated. I think certainly in the Democratic administration we saw a lot of news filtering, and now we're just seeing it the other way, and the Democrats don't like it.
Well, I have a problem with a lot of things with Trump, but the bottom line is I don't see any Democrat that's going to be able to beat him, Chris. That's my opinion.
Well, I think let's go back to 1976 and find out, or 1974. I had heard of Jimmy Carter because he beat Alexander Lester Maddox for the governorship, so I knew who he was. But how many people in this country knew at this time in November 1st, 1974, who Jimmy Carter was? And right now, yeah, you know Elizabeth Warren, you know a few people, but they aren't necessarily the ones that it's going to be coalesced around. It's very nebulous right now, and the Democrats are laying low. After this, after Tuesday, you're going to see a lot more people coming forward. It's already been talked about that Elizabeth may run.
Let's all talk about it. Go ahead, Mike. Mike Lofton.
You will learn a few things. First of all, this Saturday with the events that took place in Pittsburgh, I actually watched network TV news, which I don't really do that often, but
KDKA, their coverage was excellent.
Right. So I was very dismayed. I mean, MSNBC, just totally awful. I think if you're going to allege to be news, you should not be so far extreme left or right, but their coverage of everything and CNN too, I would say, is just too far left. It's like, if you're going to do that, fine. Change your name. Change your name to Dem or Left or something. I don't know. I just think it's too far. And the media, if they're not happy with Trump, they have no one to blame but themselves, because Trump used them to get so much free publicity. They got what they asked for. You know, if you're going to go out and cover someone.
It's a pendulum, guys. It's a pendulum. It swings all the way to the left with Barack Obama. Now it's swinging all the way to the right with Donald Trump. You know, 6 years from now, it'll swing back to the left again. It's a pendulum.
Well, you're right, Tim. And our country has always gone through this. Daniel Moore, you had your hand up.
Yes, I was going to say, because I was talking with my dad about this, and we were talking about news anchors that he grew up with and I grew up with, because he grew up with Walter Cronkite and part of Dan Rather, and I grew up with Dan Rather, and that was pretty much where it ended. And so my thing was, it's like the only person that anyone could really trust back in those days were Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather. Past that, it was kind of, you had to go figure it out on both sides by watching both sides.
Otherwise, I saw Walter Cronkite speak when I was in Tallahassee once, and it was a great, great speech. It was just
cool.
He was good. Now, go ahead, Jerry. You wanted to say something. You raised your hand.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. I think the main thing was, well, of course, we know Donald Trump is the first president who tweeted and all that. I think he should remember. You ought to watch what he tweets, because as soon as he, went from the hip like that, the world's going to jump right on it. I mean, he'd be a little more tactful.
But he doesn't care. He's more about, you know, Jerry, the old thing about as long as you get spell my name right, I'm happy, you know, and that's the important thing. He wants to be, Jerry, he wants to be the center of attention, and he is, especially like Saturday mornings. There's something about him Friday night. I wake up Saturday mornings. He says new stuff every Saturday morning, you know. He doesn't have presidential addresses. He tweets instead.
You know, Perry,
you hold on a second. Perry, you had your hand raised.
Chris, I must correct you just a smidge. When you say they're laying low, I guess that's our advantage, you know, since we're the first state, because they're not laying low here. We've had them all. We've had them all in our state. And then, I mean, obviously we don't know who's running and who isn't, but I think what a lot of people do on both sides is they come to Iowa and New Hampshire to kind of gauge where the lay of the land is.
Well, next week they'll start laying high, because as soon as this election is over, they'll start making it public how they feel about running and this and that. And there's people, I'm sure, that, you know, will be, you know, it coalesces like it always does. Nobody at this point 4 years ago who thought Donald Trump would be the president. So you never know.
My question on to you guys is, why is it, and I'm just talking just over-the-air networks only, I'm not talking cable networks now, why is it that some networks, when the president wants to speak with the people, why is it that some networks will carry it and others will not? I have noticed that recently.
Now, it's not the way it used to be in the old days, man. Every network carried the president.
Oh, right. I think they pretty much carry them.
I was going to say, because it used to be, because I even remember when, you know, when I was a kid and the president wanted to speak, you know, all of a sudden it's like the Price is Right Million Dollar Spectacular gets preempted by, you know, the president saying, oh, well, we have this, that, and the other going on. We need to tell you guys what's going on and keep you informed. See, that's how it used to be. Now I have to actually flip around.
Wait a second. What network are you saying did not carry the president's speech?
Yeah.
I mean, every network here in Albany carries it.
I'm talking about CBS, ABC, NBC. Either one or two will carry it, or all three will carry it. And it's usually
I see them all carry it.
They're all carrying them.
I think it depends on your market then, because we're hearing it here. But I mean, here in Albany, one of the things that really bothers me, and I mean, we could talk about this, but this year, and at least here in Albany, if you listen to any of the radio stations on the internet, what they're doing is they do targeted ads so that you may not hear them when you listen to them. I listen to WINS. I listen to all the radios, the news stations and stuff. We have a congressional race between Antonio Delgado and John Faso, the 19th congressional district, which serves Schenectady, New York, and I think parts of Kingston, New York. It's a weird carved out district. And then the advertising is all about healthcare and how John Faso voted to raise our healthcare and raise healthcare for pre-existing conditions. And Antonio Delgado was a former rap star, and the negative commercials about him, about how he was anti-woman, anti-911. And it just, every commercial you hear on commercial breaks on the TV is just another political ad. And I mean, this has been going on for the past four or five months already.
Well, let me ask you this.
Did that with a gubernatorial debate here in Florida. Only one of the Orlando channels actually ran the debate. The other ones did not.
The debates now are exclusive. Sometimes that's different. You know, if you're talking about the debates, they'll say this was held at the Channel 4 studio, so it's only on Channel 4, things like that. And boy, how great was it when one of the Red Sox playoff games, they were having a gubernatorial debate. That went over real well.
Well, remember, we don't have a fairness doctrine anymore, and we shouldn't, because there are so many other ways to get news. And the fairness doctrine was didn't apply to newspapers, but applied to radio and television, which that should have never happened to begin with. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, a couple things. First of all, one of our local talk show hosts even said now what you're getting, I don't know if you've gotten this, but he went to listen to an out-of-town station, he said, on TuneIn, and he said he clicked onto the talk station out of town, and he started getting political ads because they said, oh, he's listening to a talk station. So they started sending him all these ads for different candidates. And, like, you talk about the exclusivity of debates here in Texas, the Beto O'Rourke-Ted Cruz debate, the last one, it was only on stations that are owned by the company that bought BLO, or the other one was only on certain other, you know, like you said, they signed exclusive deals, but... You know, what gets me, the people, and this goes back to Saturday, they're trying to find the left or the right to blame on the psycho shooter or the bomber, the guy sending all the packages. No, it's not. They're trying to say, oh, they incited it. No, it's a guy that was mentally deranged who happened to believe a certain way. Each side, I think every side is to blame on this.
Okay, we have Bill. Bill raised his hand from Chicago. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, the thing of it is, you mentioned with Trump, I mean, a lot of stuff, he'll tell one thing and then change his mind, and you know he's been lying about the whole thing. But the other thing is, have you heard the thing today where he said that, what they call the caravan come up from Mexico?
Go ahead.
That he's sending the troops down there, and if they start throwing rocks, he more or less says shoot to kill.
I did hear that. There are a few things that he's, but I mean, that's a very big debatable issue. I don't even want to get into it because I have my opinion on it, and I don't think our country should be a dumping ground for every foreigner that wants.
Well, no, it shouldn't be a dumping ground, but you can't come out and say that, because the theory of it is, if he says that, in other words, somebody's going to go against him. The rest of them probably won't let him do it because they got a big mix up between the.
The other thing he's doing.
Hold on a second, guys. Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Mike was going to say something. Go ahead, Mike.
What we were trying to do was just focus on the media component of it being on radio and right. particularly not getting into what Trump does or doesn't do.
But the visual is that he's sending the troops down 4 weeks, because it's election time, 4 weeks before anybody's going to be there. And you can see the troops coming and doing all that. So that's clearly political. But the other thing is, you were talking about health care. The Republicans are going on the immigration issue, and the Democrats are going on the health care issue, and we'll see how people feel about these, because the economy is basically going well, so it's not the economy stupid like with George W. Bush.
Except the big thing here, we talk about radio because it's all over the radio, and it's all over the talk radio. The problem is the talk radio we know is not really good talk radio anymore because...
Well, it should be called state-run radio.
Yeah, you got it, Tim. But he's also gonna try to get rid of the 14th Amendment. So if, let's say my parents were illegal aliens and they came into this country illegally.
That's not going to happen.
But he wants those people who were born to not be considered citizens. That's not going to happen either. However, he can say it. He can say it, and it may actually go through the Supreme Court. But I really believe that he will try to do an executive order, and it will go through the courts. So
I think it's a lot of talk. I think he's just talking.
I've got some stuff I want to talk about radio here for a minute.
Okay, go ahead, Tim.
One thing before you start, Tim, everyone wants to know what kind of sounds, you know, your mic and reverb and everything you got going on.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in an echo chamber.
Well, I do. I've got a little reverb on the board. I'm still working on setting up my production studio here and my board. I'm having major problems getting the USB part of it to work, but I've got it patched analog at this
point.
What
kind of board do you have?
I got a Yamaha. You know, I decided I'd buy a motorcycle, so I bought a Yamaha.
If it's the same one that most of the people here in the Legend have, it's a good board. It sounds good.
MGX 12XG.
There's some issues with the drivers, the Steinberg drivers. So yes. Maybe we can talk
about
that.
That's what I'm having problems with right now. I can't get those things installed for anything. But first of all, I wanted to say that I did meet the sports babe, the fabulous sports babe. Nancy Dunellen is her real name, of course. And she was working at 98.7 The Fan back when they were an FM sports station in the Tampa market. And I met her, and she was very sweet, very nice to me. I was looking for work, and I gave her a resume and a CD, and she thought it was just great that, you know, me and at that time I had a guide dog, and she loved doggy. Uh-huh.
So you would say that she was fabulous then?
Oh, she was a great person, really sweet. Okay. Yeah, very nice. Very nice. I don't know how familiar you guys are with Rewound Radio.
I am, because I know the guy personally.
Okay. Oh, Rewound Radio is doing a bunch of interesting stuff that you might want to know about. You mentioned Larry Berger. Saturday at noon, they're going to be doing, every Saturday at noon, they do a DJ Hall of Fame. And what they do is they take air checks and restore the air checks by putting the music back into them. They're scoped air checks, but John Troll restores the music back into those air checks and runs them for 3 hours from noon till 3 every Saturday afternoon. And this Saturday, it's going to be Larry Berger on WPLJ.
Whoa. Very good. Well, Larry Berger was not a radio announcer on PLJ, but I have air checks of PLJ from 1977. He made that station. If you know Album Rock, Tim, now, it was not your typical, hey, man, this is WPLJ. I'm sitting there smoking a J.
That was my first air shift on WBUS in Miami Beach. That was what we did.
Right.
But that was, back in 1973.
That was not the station that PLJ was. PLJ was a professional album rock station, and the guy who was one of the announcers, his name is Tony Pigg. You would have remembered Tony Pigg because he was the announcer for the Regis and Kelly show, or the Regis and Kathy Lee show ABC. And he was
who I'd love to hear an air check of on PLJ would be Jamie Lee. She was a good friend of mine.
You know, I don't have it. She's not there anymore. She hasn't been there for quite a long time. I know who you're talking about.
Her real name was Sandy, and she worked in Tallahassee, believe it or not, at WTNT and WNLS.
I know she is. Did she call herself Jamie Lee Curtis, even though she wasn't?
No, just Jamie Lee.
Yeah, I know she was, because she worked at PLJ when they were top 40, and I remember her.
I loved her. She was sweet.
And she was a very nice person. I talked to her once. I know you're talking about.
She was a very good friend of mine. Okay, so, yeah, they're doing that. Also, over Thanksgiving weekend, and I don't know who would ever want to listen to this because I hate this guy, but Dan Ignoramus air checks all weekend long.
So I like Dan Ingram. So
I hate him. He's horrible. But actually, that was funny because I was writing an email, and when I went to spell checker, and it would not. It checked Dan Ingram, and it changed it from Ingram to Ignoramus, and I said, that's perfect.
Dan Ingram, I met Dan Ingram when our school got a tour of WD. He was probably one of the nicest guys I have ever met in radio, and believe me, there are plenty of blanks in radio, and he was a very...
I just can't say. I mean, the guy had a big mouth, and he never shut his mouth. He talked over jingles, talked over music, talked over everything. I mean, just...
That's what I like.
I hate it.
The other guy
that's not Dan Ingram could have never worked for Bill Drake. I'm sorry.
No, but then again, I like Drake Radio. I love Drake Radio. And Mike Loft will tell you he likes Drake Radio, but that was a different era. And he never talked over the intro of a record. He talked to right up to the vocal. He never talked
to the vocal. You know, in a way, WABC was as formulaic as Drake Radio, but they let him do it because he was number one in the market. He was doing drive time, you know, and probably in the mid-60s, he and Bill Mazur were killing it, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the deal. So he could do whatever he wanted. It's just like a morning man. He never had to get up there and say, hello again.
I have heard him talk over top of music, over top of, I mean, the vocals will start, and then he'll talk, and then he'll talk, and he'll talk.
I've never heard that. I mean, I listened to that. I have plenty of Dan Ingram air checks, and
he was saying cool fun things, and I enjoy that kind of stuff.
Pam Francis, you had your hands
another
up.
Cool thing that Rewound is on Sunday afternoon.
All right, never mind. Apparently, I am not allowed to.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to get this in real quick, and then I'll get out of here. Another cool thing that Rewound does is on Sunday afternoons from 3 until 6, John Wilford from Jam Creative Productions does an all-jingle show.
All right, like I care.
Okay, Pam, if you don't like the way the talk show is going, you don't have to be on it. Because anyway, frankly, we really don't watch on the talk show to begin with. Okay,
and that's
it's not the Pam Francis show.
Okay,
I'm talking Sean, and this is how it's going to be. Okay, you don't run the talk show, Pam, and it doesn't run around Pam Francis's view. Okay, and I'm sorry. So if you don't like it, don't call in because we really don't need you. Go ahead, Tim.
No, I that's all I had to say, and that's it. I will get off now. But I just wanted to let you know about John Wilford's jingle show. It's very interesting. I think it's a very good show.
It is a very good show.
Well, it's very similar to what, remember what Terry Young used to do on XM when he would have on Friday afternoons, he'd do a hometown salute and he'd salute a radio station, and that's what he would do. They would take, let's say you're going to play Alley-Oop or something. It would start with the air, the air check from where it starts off a little bit unfidelity, you know, like you'd get. And then he would throw in Alley-Oop at that, you know, pick it up right where it was. And it was very well done.
Terry Young is on WTMP doing mornings now.
Yeah, I will try. I will get him in a later podcast, Tim, because we've already done WTMP, but I definitely will get him in. And I have some stuff from him from WCAU in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Lionel, go ahead. You've raised your hand.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember I used to have, before the merger, Terry Young doing that. I think they replayed that on Saturday mornings, at least like 10 o'clock on the West Coast or something like that. Yeah, that was pretty cool. But yeah, going back, I forget who was Perry. I've noticed that too, man, when watching cable or really TV in general. A lot of these, maybe it does depend on market, because if anything major happens, you know, back in the 80s when I was growing up, with Reagan and Bush and, of course, Clinton, anything major, you see it on all three of those networks. Nowadays, you got everybody under the sun, Fox News, blah, blah, blah. I mean, a lot of the three networks, sometimes they'll pick it up, sometimes they won't. But maybe, like Jeff said, I guess it does depend on the market.
Well, I think maybe what was meant when they were talking about the networks not broadcasting. If the president comes, there are photo ops all day long. Every day he might have a photo op with the president of Burundi or something, and he may talk about something else. It may be a little about Burundi, and then he'll talk about immigration or whatever he does. And there'll be photo ops. Those are for the cable. Those are for the news junkies. Those things are 11 o'clock in the morning, and he's in the Rose Garden. He's talking to somebody. That's on Fox. That's on CNN. That's on C-SPAN. That's how that works. But when there's a speech or a press conference, they're on the networks. That's prime time. That's when he's on.
The Daily Press Briefing, I've noticed they carry that a lot more lately.
Well, not the Daily Press Briefing. Most network stations don't carry the Daily Press Briefing.
We're talking about, like, if
for example, there's a bombing in Israel or there's a bombing somewhere in Washington or someone bombed New York City.
If on Saturday he had wanted to speak at 2 o'clock for 5 minutes about what happened in Pittsburgh, they would have put him on in the middle of football and everything.
I think we've gone it's very tough because, it used to be where I could tell you about tons of radio news. And unfortunately, radio is getting to be so routine lately that there's not much nothing that really excites a lot of people in radio these days. I mean, Chris, you've seen radio come and go, and we've all seen it.
Oh, sure. Bouncing back to the Apple story, I think this is interesting because right now iHeart, every 10 minutes on WBZ, you're hearing an ad for Miss A and about how you can get WBZ on there. And, of course, that's plugging Amazon. So whether that means we're going to get one of them every 10 minutes and then an Apple ad for some of their devices the next 10 minutes, I don't know. But,
go ahead, Mike. I think you're going to see a lot more ads for Beats products on iHeart. That's what you're going to see, Beats, headphones. Go ahead, Mike.
The first thing I wonder is how it's going to work because – obviously, Apple has Apple Music for $9.99, but iHeart, you can get their service for $5.99, and I've never tried it just to see exactly what you get, so I don't know if anyone had actually paid for it.
I haven't either, but I know that they have two different plans, and you're right, there's a $9.99, there's a lower rate plan, and I think I should try it for 30 days if I want, but I really don't like doing that because then once they start billing your card, it's tough to stop it. I never liked it.
Well, now if you pay through Apple, it's very easy.
Right, easy.
To go into your account. And, but...
Yeah.
It looks like the future of Apple is media partnerships. Like I said, they've done this with Spectrum. They've done, iHeart's coming up here. And, they're about to roll out some kind of service early 2019, some kind of partnership.
They're going to have their own streaming service. So they're going to have streaming television. And it'll be available on your iPhone and your Apple TV. That I do know. And
another thing we might mention, Jeff, is that we talked about in the coffee club, but Hulu is going to not only improve the accessibility of their use of their service on the computer and iPhone and so forth, which iPhone's already pretty good now, but also going to do describe audio content. So
If do any of you guys have Dish Network or Sling TV?
Nope.
Because if any of you guys do, you won't be able to watch Home Box Office right now. Home Box Office is owned by AT&T, which owns Time Warner, now, which is not the Time Warner cable. It's the Time Warner, the people that own Turner Classic Movies, and they produce movies and TV shows. Well, there's a fight with Home Box Office and Sling TV and Dish Network, and AT&T is not letting those services be on those particular services. So
I got a question, Jeff. What's the difference between the cable networks fighting with the cable systems and the TV station owners fighting with the cable networks? Is there a difference?
Oh, there is a big difference. The first of all, when you have your cable television, cable systems have to pay broadcasters to be on that cable channel, which I really disagree with. But that came about a few years ago when they deregulated.
92.
It was 92. And so if you watch your local cable television, now you're in Minneapolis, so all the local television stations that are on your cable, just like the local television stations that are in Austin, like the local TV stations in New York, Philadelphia, anywhere, they are paying the cable company to be, the cable company is paying those stations, I should say, to be on that cable system. And that's why that's why the cable rates keep going up all the time. And that's because the cable stations are charged. They're charged by subscriber for the people who have HBO. They're paying for HBO to be on the cable. They're paying for Showtime, the Movie Channel, Cinemax, Stars. On all those services are the cable company is paying those services to be on that cable system. And that's why
where did Jeff go?
Yeah. Who's Jeff?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
You're cutting in and out.
Before 92, you had to, you know, you had to run the local stations, but now the local stations, and the biggest one that loves to fight with the cable companies is Sinclair.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That is the biggest one that loves to fight with.
Let's give you a little history, Dan, for example.
Okay.
In the old days of cable television, it wasn't considered cable television. I'm going back to the 1970s, and actually it goes back to the 60s. Cable TV was originally set up to be, and I want to keep track of the time here, to be a master antenna. So if you lived in an area where you couldn't get television, they would hook up a big antenna. You would get your TV on a cable to your via to your house, and they'd have preamplifiers and amplifiers, so you would get your cable. That changed. So today, cable is so much more. If anyone remembers, Mike, do you remember when you first had cable, Mike Law?
Oh, yeah, that's why you might have seen the term CATV, when CA stood for was Community Antenna.
That's right.
It was also because they'd feed FM radio through, and some of the cable systems
radio. Oh, we had cable FM in the early 80s, yeah.
Yeah, they got rid of the cable FM a while ago here. But cable TV is so much more. That cable box that you have now is not just a cable box. It really is a computer. It's a processor. It has memory. And it actually runs on an operating system, and I believe that might be Linux, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure what the operating system is, or it could be Android for all we know. But it's running on an operating system. You couldn't, you know, when I first got cable back in 1976 when I was living in Syracuse, you couldn't get stuff on demand. You had Homebox, and Homebox was the only pay service back then. There was nothing else. And Homebox was a lot better then. It wasn't all day. It was part-time. It started at noon and ended at like midnight or 1 in the morning. And because they were owned by Madison Square Garden, we got to watch all the Ranger games. We got to watch all the Knick basketball games. And, I mean, I'm talking the games that weren't on the radio, that might have been blacked out. We got to see them all. I know, Chris, I know. I'm not really a sports fan, but you know it comes out occasionally, right? You know,
that's right. Yeah, everyone's on. Right.
You know, and I got to see the Knicks back then, and Bob Wolf was the announcer at that time.
That's right. Jim Gordon was doing the Rangers. Yep, that's right.
But even then, with cable, in the early cable, they had issues over like which CBS station, because maybe their antennas could get two or three. I remember when I was in Jacksonville, it's like we wanted to watch Channel 4 in St. Louis, but they had to show CBS in Peoria. But then when they went off the air, they'd show Channel 4 overnight because it was the only TV station that stayed
on. When I first moved to Louisiana. In 1981, what they did, we had the Lafayette and Lake Charles, the Lafayette ABC and CBS and the Lake Charles NBC, but we also got the Baton Rouge of all three of those. That's how they got around. So you got two of each, and then plus by then CBS, WTBS, ESPN, CNN, MTV, those stations were all going, but yeah.
Yeah, when I first got around that. Go ahead,
going back to
Go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, do you guys remember the fact that they used to have to turn off some of the channels that were in outside of the area
Yep, I remember that.
And I always remember their timers being all screwed up, and they would turn them on or off right in the middle of something. Or
not only that, do you also? I also remember when the cable companies, because we also had the same problem in Syracuse when late at night. What happened was we would get WCBS Channel 2 on the cable from New York City, which I loved because I could watch the late. That's when they had the Late Show and the Late Show.
Oh,
and they had those movies. But I hated it because we got all the New York channels. We got, well, not the network ones, but we got Channel 5, we got Channel 9, and Channel 11 on our cable. And then they regulated everything. And that was done through Eastern Microwave. So the stations were microwaved to Albany, New York. And then they changed it all, and we lost all those channels. We also had Channel 5. We got Channel, what's the one in Boston, WSBK, Channel 38? We got that channel.
They had the Red Sox and the Bruins. That's why
and
they were
on that. We also got WLVI and Channel 56 as well.
Okay.
It was Kansas City, and we also got WOR and WGN, which we still
TBS, WGN.
I was a year late getting into it in 83, but in 82, people tell me here in Quincy that you could get Braves games on TBS, you get Yankees games on PIX, you could get Mets games on WOR, and you could get Cubs games on WGN. Then they took the Cubs and the Yankees away. And when I got there in 83, we had the Braves and the Mets a lot, but we didn't have the four. You know, you could have just sat there almost like you can now with Miss A and call up these games. That's four teams plus the Red Sox. That was pretty good.
Another thing.
We got Bill in Chicago. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I can predate you guys. I remember when there was no cable.
Well, so do we.
I can go back to the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
There was nothing but maybe two TV stations.
That's right.
Indianapolis, for example, only had three TV stations back then.
Do you know, I remember when New York City had no UHF stations, Bill. We had...
This was VHF stations. They had no UHF stations. UHF didn't come... And I came to Chicago in 61, and UHF didn't start here until... Oh, somewhere in the mid-60s, early 70s.
Let me ask you a question, Bill. My father tells me, and I can't say that it's true or it's not true, but he told me that when he first got TV, and he remembers getting TV in 1947, he had just gotten married to my mom, and he was the only one in the apartment building, and everyone would come up to his apartment to watch Milton Berle show. Okay, I get that.
Oh, yeah, right.
But he says to me, he told me once that he believes that instead of that there was a Channel 1, not Channel 2 at one time. And I don't remember that at all. And I'm looking it up in history. I can't find that anywhere. But he swears that there was a Channel 1 at one time. And I don't remember.
I don't remember Channel 1. But I can remember where I was born and raised on a farm, you know, just south of Fort Wayne. It was 20 miles away. And I remember in 1955, a neighbor bought a TV. And he had to. I helped him put up an antenna on the top of his house, a two-story house, and it had to be at least 25 or 30 feet above the roof to even pick up Fort Wayne. Then it was fuzzy, and that was only 20 miles away.
Wow!
I remember the first time I did TBDX, I could get Channel 6 in Philadelphia when Channel 5 in New York was off, and then I realized, wow, you know, I can get Channel 8 in New Haven all of a sudden. And I was, and when the band opened up for television, I was able to get Channel 12 in Providence, Rhode Island. That's
WPRO.
I'm sorry, well, WPRO.
And then when UHF came in, you had to buy a separate box to get UHF channels because the TVs didn't
You turn your TV to a certain channel. In New York City, the first TV channels that were UHF was WNJU, Channel 47. That was a mixture of English and Spanish, all kinds of programming, and WNYC, which is owned and operated by New York City. That was Channel 31. And they used to use that as a training ground. So if you wanted to learn how to run the subways, if you wanted to be a motorman, they would do training films on how to do all that stuff. And not only that, and when they weren't broadcasting television shows, they would broadcast the police lineup of people who were wanted for police lineup and stuff like that. They were just a crazy mishmash of all kinds of programs at that point.
I have a question. How many of you guys are suckers for the old TV sign-offs?
I have a few of them from YouTube that I've heard, and they don't now. The TV stations don't sign off anymore, really, but they are available.
The only one being the exception that I know of for sure that's still doing it is WUTV in Buffalo, New York, but that's like on Saturday night into Sunday mornings, something like that.
I was always intrigued with the power that those stations, like 7 through 13, you get 316,000, and the UHF got 1.2 million or something like that.
Yeah, because UHF, is the higher the frequency, the more power you need to get out. UHF frequencies are very high, so that's why they
did it. Like here in Austin, they had one, until we got UHF, or until UHF came out in 64, they had one TV station. They were allotted three originally, supposedly, but of course the station was owned by Senator Lyndon Johnson, Channel 7, so of course, at that time, there was a little politicalness to keep the other two stations out of Austin and get reassigned to Waco and Bryan College Station, but yeah, it was.
We had, in Minnesota, we had a station in Alexandria, Minnesota, that was a combination. They did some CBS and some ABC programming.
Some markets are like that, Tim. There was Watertown, New York, where there was only one television station. That was WWNY Television, Channel 7, Carthage, Watertown. They had programs from ABC, NBC, and CBS. So
when we just had our two channels, Channel 4 and 7, until 1957, when Channel 5, 55, Channel 2 came on, is educational, of course, and then five came on in 57. But 7 would pick up the real popular, and they throw them on whenever, like Ozzie and Harriet would be on at 6 o'clock on Saturday night or something. You know, they would just throw it on when they could because they were a CBS affiliate, and they basically were always doing that. But when they could squeeze the popular ABC stuff on, but they probably only did like a, way small amount. I don't know. I was too small to know how much of ABC was being done. But then when 5 came on, where'd all these shows come from? I mean, we knew about Channel 9. We knew the Bandstand was on, for example, on Channel 9 in Manchester. But when Channel 5 came on, there was Sugarfoot and all those guys. I never heard of that show. Mickey Mouse Club was on Channel 7 until Channel 5 came on. So, you had to do something about ABC,
Let me ask you a question, Bill. What channel was WBZ? Wasn't that Channel 3?
BZ, Channel 4.
Oh, Channel 4. It's hard. I wish I was like 80 years old. And the reason I say that, and I'm not because if I was 80 years old, I would remember more of the 50s and more of the 60s than I do.
I enjoy that. I wouldn't want the, but Bill, you sound great. If I sound that good when I'm 79, 80 years old, I'll sign up.
Now, does anyone know how much power the new HD channels run? I've never looked.
All I know on that ground is they don't really advertise their power anymore. What they do is here in the States, and I'll give you a little history lesson here, or not so much history lesson, but a little lesson here. In the States, because now the FCC auction is where they're moving the channels around so they can get them on to whatever. So I have a little app on my phone here. It allows me to see what channels are what. So, for example, Wish TV, which is virtual channel 8, is actual channel 9. However, CBET is channel 9, virtual and actual. Okay. So that gives you an idea how digital works.
And I think since it's all analog, I don't know what the power is because they really don't say. But I think we can look that up, Mike.
Exactly. We can look up FCC. I just didn't know if anyone knew. But,
we got about 2 minutes to go. Bill, you do have some good memories. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question real quick? Did I make a good purchase yesterday? I bought off HSN, Amazon, and Cube.
A Fire Cube? Yes.
Yeah, Fire Cube. They had it for $59 regular.
Oh, that's a great price.
That's a very good price for it, Bill. Now, if you need some help, you may need some site help getting it set up initially, but I think you'll be okay with it.
Well, one thing you'll need to hook it up to it's called your ARC port. There's a port on your TV called ARC, and that will allow it to truly control the TV. It's usually your HDMI 1. It could be something different. It depends on your TV, but you'll want to do that so that you fully control your TV.
Bill, see that it's 8:28. The only thing I will apologize to Pam, but that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say any more about it. It was a great All Things Radio action. We got to figure out ways to really keep this show going. And what can I say?
Well, I'm glad you played the commercials to settle us down and then brought up all the politics to rile us all up again, Jeff. Good job.
That's why you did it that way.
How about renaming the show to Let's All Get Our Mishmash Together?
I don't know, but if you guys like more of those kind of commercials, occasionally I'll put more of those in occasionally because I thought that was kind of interesting.
That would be great.
I even have an original Bozo the Clown show from Boston. The guy, his name was Frank Average.
We had Sammy Terry.
But this was syndicated all over the country. And Bob was his name? Bob someone or other played Bozo in Chicago.
That's it.
Well, Bill, it's over to you, and you can turn it to Tim, and I'm going to get something to drink. like and a gin good, and tonic. And
yeah, good idea.
Good job, Jeff. I borrowed a little bit of Tim Stewart there for just a second. But anyway, Jeff, the numbers, as I fix this now, the numbers were great during the show, so keep up what you're doing. It may be a little nerve-wracking sometimes, but people tend to listen. So have a great week, everyone. We're off to setting up a few more computers tonight and getting ready. Thank you, everyone. And Daniel Moore, you're interesting. We'll have to hook up one-on-one sometime.
I would love to hook up one-on-one with you especially. Anyways, I'm going to turn it to you because we're pretty much closing in on 8:30 with no seconds left.
Right. There we go. See ya.